Tanto Audio, a division of recorded books, presents Forgetting the Earl by Kathleen Ayres. Narrated by Christy Woods. Chapter 1. London, 1836. Miss Honora Drevenport surveyed the crush at Lady Pemberton's ballroom, fluffing out her lavender skirts, then frowning as she examined the more than generous rise of her hips. Gloved hand flapping against one thigh, she silently prayed for the rise of flesh to be smaller, or at the very least appear much less mountainous than it seemed. Mama liked to say Honora was full-figured. Emmeline Stitch, Honora's cousin and dearest friend, suggested she was merely voluptuous, in the way women depicted in Renaissance paintings happened to be. Emmy meant it as a compliment. Truly she did. Honora tried to take a deep breath, something she thought might calm her, but she was laced far too tightly, a necessary evil in order to fit in this stupid gown, one her mother had insisted wouldn't compliment Honora's figure in the least. She hated when Mama was right. Just once, Honora had wanted to appear lovely and swan-like, because tonight, at Lady Pemberton's ball, he would be in attendance. Unfortunately, her body wasn't inclined to agree with Honora's vision. Plump would be the kindest way to describe her figure. Her rounded form, combined with a lack of height, gave the impression Honora was a tiny teapot, minus the spout, of course. No matter that she starved herself relentlessly in her pursuit to be reed thin, or that her mother continuously urged her to try one reduction method after another. Honora's determination and good intentions were often ambushed by a delicious scone or a tart. Blackberry tarts were her favourite. Generously curved, abundant forms were not currently in fashion and hadn't been in at least a century. Thank goodness today's gowns were far better at hiding a young lady's flaws than the figure-revealing dresses of 20 years ago. Even so, very few gentlemen found a pudgy form such as hers appealing. She doubted even Culpepper did. Her lip curled just slightly at the thought of her unwelcome suitor, a gentleman everyone but Honora thought she should wed. Honora very strongly disagreed. Culpepper's admiration of her had less to do with her person and more to do with the fact that Silas Drevenport, Honora's father, owned profitable copper mines and had no son to inherit them. Papa had two daughters, one bright and vivacious and already wed nearly a year, Marianne. The other, well, the other was Honora. She thumped her hip again, pleading with the silk to lie smoothly. "It isn't any use," she muttered from behind a rather large potted palm that had become her hiding spot for the evening. "I resemble an overgrown hyacinth no matter what I do." Indeed, the roundness of her hips paled in comparison to the rise of her breasts, threatening to spill out despite her overly modest neckline. Last year, during her first season, there had been an unfortunate wardrobe incident that had required a cloak and a hurried exit. Most embarrassing. Honora had been laughed at for weeks. She twisted her fingers. It wasn't the first time she'd been mocked, and unlikely to be the last. The world was not kind to chubby, over-educated young ladies. Pushing aside her thoughts of self-pity, Honora surveyed Lady Pemberton's ballroom with a practiced eye. Scores of perfectly rounded bosoms and tiny waists flitted before her in gorgeous colours. Lovely creamy complexions, not one with a blemish. Honora's face, in comparison, was often marked with imperfections. Nothing on any of the perfect young ladies swirling about resembled a jiggling plate of aspic. If Honora so much as shifted in her seat at dinner, the mounds of her breasts moved as if they possessed a life of their own. At a small gathering last week, in which Honora's sister, Marianne, had played the piano, to much applause, an older gentleman, very unkindly, had drawn a comparison between Honora's bosom and the udders of a cow. She'd been mortified to have overheard his comments. The wrap she'd brought, because the evening was cool, had immediately made an appearance. Honora sighed, batting absently at the palm. She'd always been chubby, plump, liked her desserts far too much. Mama tried to compel her to walk in the park, but Honora often declined. One could not read a book on the Babylonians or Phoenicia while in motion. And Papa, her mother claimed, had overindulged and encouraged Honora's tendencies with books, trips to the museum and galleries, attendance at presentations by esteemed scientists, historians, and gentlemen intent on exploring the world. Gentlemen, like the Earl of Southwell. Honora had found Southwell quite accidentally, though she considered it fate. She'd asked her father to escort her to a talk being given at the English Museum on India. After all, Papa shared her fascination for exotic locales and interesting historical artifacts. Mama disapproved, but allowed her to go. At least she would be walking about. And there he was, glistening like a crown jewel in a Maharaja's turban. Honora stared at Southwell in rapt attention the whole time he stood at the podium in the museum's main hall, relating the details of a tiger hunt in India. The rough scratch of his voice flowed over her skin as she drank in the sheer beauty of his face. The tiger was one who'd attacked a score of villages and had developed a taste for humans. Southwell gestured gracefully with his arms as he sought to make his points, stopping at the right moments to offer an interesting tidbit or personal anecdote. For the entire duration of Southwell's speech, Honora was unable to take her eyes from him. Papa pronounced himself embarrassed and shocked by her blatant admiration. Mama finally put her foot down. Honora would never find a husband if she insisted on attending such dry affairs, better reserved for educated gentlemen. She could not spend the rest of her life with her nose in a book, or looking at dusty mummies and such. Honora argued and pleaded, but Mama could not be swayed. Heartbroken, Honora was forced to pay calls on ladies she didn't even like and attend dull charity teas. Mama dragged Honora some weeks later to what she deemed a suitable event, hosted by Lady Trent and held in that esteemed ladies' cavernous ballroom. Donations were being requested for the betterment of orphans, a favourite cause of Lady Trent's, while her guests sipped tepid tea and munched on biscuits. Lady Trent was well known for her charitable endeavours. Mama didn't have a charitable bone in her body, but she was socially ambitious. Southwell took the podium, and Honora wasn't the only young lady in attendance to sigh and fan herself. She made a point of asking her mother to attend future charity teas, as hosted by Lady Trent, because Southwell spoke at nearly all of them. He was a favourite of Lady Trent's, and close friends with her son, the Earl of Monteith. If Mama wondered at Honora's sudden philanthropy, she didn't mention it. She was far too happy that her troublesome, awkward daughter was finally doing something socially acceptable. Ah, Southwell. Honora placed a hand over her heart to stop the sudden fluttering. The Earl of Southwell, or South, as his close friends called him, was everything Honora admired in a gentleman. An adventuresome earl, one who explored the furthest regions of the globe. He had visited some of the most interesting places in the world, often in the company of Lord Carver, head of the Geographic Society. Southwell was commanding, self-assured, bold. She had no trouble imagining him holding a rifle aloft as he led his men through a jungle, or discovering an ancient tomb buried in the desert. His rugged good looks, combined with the sense of danger and excitement hovering about his broad shoulders, helped him become the embodiment of her most romantic fantasies. Honora tugged on her skirts again, ducking as far behind the palm as space allowed. Culpepper was on the move. She could see him circling about, searching for her. The Drevenports approved of Culpepper. He was well connected and moderately wealthy. The sort of gentleman most women of Honora's station would find appealing as a future husband. Neither her mother nor her father could understand her reluctance in accepting his suit. Southwell entered her field of vision, sauntering across the ballroom like some sleek, sable-haired panther that inhabited one of the jungles he so often visited. His dark formal wear clung to a lean, muscular form, kept fit and powerful from his activities. Southwell was so attractive, so unapologetically masculine, in comparison to the dandy strutting about Lady Pemberton's ballroom. Mama insisted that a match with Culpepper would be splendid. That was the word she'd used, as if Honora's unwanted suitor was a sunset or a perfect rosebud. Good Lord, Mama had said. Did Honora wish to remain a spinster like her cousin Emma Jean? Honora was already, horrors, in her second season. Culpepper was more than Honora could hope for, given her unfortunate silhouette. Honora ran her hand over the bulge of her stomach, impossible to see beneath her skirts, but she knew it was there. She was squeezed so tightly in the gown, she was terrified she would either faint or split the seams. The palm frond tickled her nose, and she batted it away, distressed to find a bit of her hair beginning to fuzz against her cheek and temple. Drat! What was the point of using dollops of styling cream to keep her hair sleek? It never seemed to work. Honora pushed aside the palm frond in irritation. She could no longer see Southwell, and she dearly wished to. But the ballroom was enormously crowded. Anyone of any decent social standing was in attendance. Splashes of colour circled the ballroom, bright against the black formal wear of the gentleman. Lovely hues of rose and powder blue. A confection in cream dotted with ribbons. Dozens of sparkling diamonds, emeralds and sapphires graced throats, ears and wrists. Skirts rustled in time with the snapping of fans. Laughter rose in the air, while the musicians, discreetly hidden behind a painted screen, struck up a jaunty tune. Honora tapped her foot in time to the music. She didn't dance well, another fault Mama liked to point out.
Miss Drevenport, there you are.
A delicate gloved hand pushed aside the palm frond as Lady Annabeth Wadsworth, daughter of the Marquess of Kendal, renowned beauty, and the most sought-after young lady this season, peered at Honora. Light glittered off the tiny tiara perched on Annabeth's golden curls, nearly blinding Honora. Drevenport, Honora corrected her. Annabeth, in their short acquaintance, had never once addressed Honora correctly. Annabeth's brow wrinkled, making her look like a distraught fairy princess.
Isn't that what I said?
No, actually you...
Don't you find constantly correcting others to be tiresome?
Honora pursed her lips to stop her reply. She did find correcting others to be tedious, but she was only trying to be helpful when she pointed out the error of others. Mispronouncing a word, for instance, or giving incorrect information, could have a disastrous effect for both speaker and listener. I didn't realise you were looking for me, Lady Annabeth. There was no good reason that Annabeth should be looking for her, though Honora supposed they were friends of a sort. Annabeth and Honora often found themselves attending many of the same charity events hosted by Lady Trent, where Southwell was the speaker.
Oh, do come out here where I can see you,
Annabeth insisted. Tugging once more on her lavender skirts, Honora reluctantly emerged from behind the palm. Annabeth took in Honora's carefully styled coiffure, her smile faltering.
Oh, doesn't your hair look lovely tonight?
Thank you. Honora patted the side of her tightly constrained tresses, braided and bound to her head with an overabundance of pins. Black as sin and more unruly than a band of orphans, Honora's hair would never behave enough to imitate the elegant style of Annabeth's shimmering curls. Mama had even considered if shaving Honora's head would make the hair grow back in a more normal fashion. Of course, Mama also wanted to scrub Honora's cheeks and forehead with a brush soaked in lemon water and vinegar to improve her complexion.
One should be seen at a ball.
Annabeth's eyes roamed over Honora's petite, plump form, and she gave a small sniff of her perfect nose.
Your cheeks are a bit ruddy this evening. Shiny.
Thank you, Lady Annabeth.
And the colour is very flattering for your complexion.
She squinted at Honora's forehead, lips curling in mild distaste, as she caught sight of the rather large blemish Honora's maid had tried to hide behind a gathering of curls.
I'm sure you'll be asked to dance if you just come out. You aren't hiding back there, are you?
No, of course not, Honora stammered, embarrassed to have been caught doing just that. I was only taking a moment's respite. The ballroom is quite warm. It wasn't a lie. Moisture was gathering beneath Honora's arms. She could feel the slow slide of it on her skin.
Is it warm? I hadn't noticed.
Annabeth was the sort of young lady who never worried about unwelcome moisture. Nary a drop would ever dare gather above Annabeth's upper lip, or trickle between her perfectly formed breasts. It was very unfair.
Southwell is here.
Annabeth tapped her forefinger against her chin. Honora tried to stop the warmth from flooding her cheeks. I hadn't noticed. She tried to sound nonchalant, as if she hadn't been staring at him only moments ago. Annabeth knew of Honora's admiration for Southwell, as anyone attending one of Lady Trent's tea would. Honora did a poor job of hiding her affection.
My dear Miss Davenport.
Drevenport, Honora quietly corrected. A tiny wrinkle appeared again between Annabeth's plucked brows.
I'm sure that's what I said. You must have misheard me. At any rate, I'm well acquainted with Southwell, as you know, but you are not. And we are friends, aren't we, Miss Davenport?
Honora didn't bother to correct her this time. It seemed pointless.
You're interested in his travels. You adore the lectures he is fond of giving while Lady Trent begs us all for donations for one cause or another. I'm sure it isn't just orphans and war widows that compel you to attend such functions.
The talks he gives are marvellously interesting. I find that... Annabeth waved the rest of Honora's explanation away.
Yes, I'm sure you think discussing tombs and such to be fascinating. I have never been able to garner much enthusiasm.
Her fingers landed on Honora's arm.
As much as you esteem him, you've never been properly introduced, nor had the opportunity to tell him of your admiration. Wouldn't you like to?
Annabeth's pale blue eyes twinkled at Honora a bit too brightly.
I know Southwell would be honoured to know he's inspired you, Miss Davenport, truly.
Annabeth tilted her head, fingers squeezing Honora's arm ever so slightly to make her point. The crowd parted as Annabeth spoke, enough so that Honora once more caught sight of Southwell. Southwell threw back his dark head in laughter, the tanned line of his jaw and throat shining in the light of the chandelier. And his features contrasted sharply against the paler faces of the other gentlemen. A glass dangled from one elegant hand, half forgotten as he spoke.
Magnificent, isn't he?
Annabeth's tone was wistful.
Though I do wish he'd find another hobby, other than roaming about jungles. It's a dangerous occupation for an earl with no heir.
Her gaze landed on Honora once again.
Perhaps he's merely waiting for the right woman.
Annabeth had made no secret of her intent to snare Southwell.
Come.
She took Honora's arm once again.
You mustn't be shy in the least. Southwell adores discussing his travels. He'll be thrilled to find someone who is interested.
Honora dug in her heels, torn between wanting to speak to Southwell and being mortified he'd remember her as the young lady who'd embarrassed herself at a charity tea some months ago. Mama was still angry.
I can't, my lady, as much as I'd like to. The ribbon on my slipper has come loose, and I really must retire to fix it.
Annabeth's lips thinned.
I'm disappointed in you, Miss Davenport.
Honora took a deep breath. Most everyone was disappointed in her.
It is perfectly natural for you to be enamoured of Southwell. We all are. There isn't a woman in London who attends those events he speaks at with.
She snapped her gloved fingers.
I can never seem to recall the gentleman's name.
Lord Carver, Honora whispered. Of the Geographical Society. Rising excitement over coming face to face with Southwell, mixed with dread, settled in her stomach. She would stammer again, ask inane questions, because she couldn't form a coherent thought. Her skin would tingle quite deliciously.
Yes, Lord Carver. As I was saying, most of the young ladies, myself included, enjoy Lord Southwell far more than his lectures. You, Miss Davenport, take pleasure in both. There is no shame in admitting it.
She tugged on Honora's arm.
Come, you must meet him.
I couldn't possibly. Honora demurred once again. Annabeth stopped, regarding her with frustration.
Is your reluctance due to the improper question you asked at Lady Trent's?
Honora looked down at the floor, studying the tiles. She'd made a complete goose of herself.
I must admit, I choked on my biscuit when you asked if the crocodiles pulled Egyptians from their boats.
Felucas, Honora whispered, as Annabeth pulled her forward, neatly sidestepping a dancing couple.
And chewed on them.
That isn't exactly what I said, Honora protested.
Quite gruesome of you. Lady Trent looked as if she would faint.
Annabeth made a clucking sound with her tongue.
Southwell, however, was intrigued by your morbid nature. I could tell.
She paused and gave Honora just the hint of a smile.
You managed to gain his attention. No easy feat. I find myself positively green with envy over the fact.
A tiny thrill coursed through Honora at the thought. You are mistaken, Lady Annabeth. I'm sure Southwell is quite taken with you.
True,
Annabeth flashed a smile.
But even I have trouble discussing dead bones and other dull topics.
Dead bones? Honora opened her mouth to voice her opinion on Annabeth's choice of words and promptly shut it. Her mother would be proud.
I almost purchased a dull tome on ancient Egypt, trying to stir up some sort of curiosity in Southwell's hobbies. Can you imagine?
I cannot. She didn't think Annabeth capable of reading anything other than fashion magazines and the occasional novel. The very thought of her doing so boggled the mind.
I think such reading to be the providence of elderly scholars and blue stockings, Miss Davenport, much like yourself. My time is better spent learning the steps of a new dance, I think. At any rate, I doubt he remembers you from Lady Trent's.
Honora didn't see how that was possible. Lady Parker and her niece had swooned at the mention of body parts being strewn about the Nile. Honora had meant to ask about the Egyptian practice of worshipping crocodiles, something she found intriguing, given the obvious danger involved with large man-eating reptiles. She was fascinated with Sebek, the Egyptian god of fertility, who was depicted as a crocodile. Honora only wanted Southwell's observations. Not even her father wanted to discuss Sebek with her. The impropriety of discussing a fertility god in the company of London's socially moral matrons hadn't dawned on Honora until she opened her mouth to speak. And by then, Southwell had been smiling at her, striking her dumb with his magnificence. Suddenly at loss for words, a rare occurrence, Honora could only stammer out a question, mildly less appropriate, about murderous crocodiles. Blushing furiously, Honora had bravely ignored the startled and horrified gasps of the other ladies sipping tea. Southwell, oblivious to her mounting embarrassment and the censure directed at Honora, had nodded solemnly, as if carefully considering her question. He'd related several pertinent facts about the Nile's crocodiles, none of which involved them snatching people travelling the Nile on feluccas. He'd stated that the hippopotami were much more feared by the ancient Egyptians, and because of their vicious attacks, had been hunted nearly to extinction along the Nile. Southwell had been incredibly polite, not a bit condescending. She'd basked in his attention. Nevertheless, it was not Honora's finest moment. Mama, on the carriage ride home, had been livid. Honora was forbidden to read anything else from Papa's well-stocked library. If she were to attend another of Lady Trent's teas, Honora was not permitted to ask questions. She was to put such outlandish interests out of her mind and focus on finding a husband. Southwell's back was to her as she and Annabeth approached. He was in conversation with another gentleman standing to his left, with sandy hair. Her stomach roiled. Oh dear. Tarrington. Lord Tarrington and Honora did not care for each other. She'd made the poor decision to correct him at a party given earlier in the season. Speaking of the United States, Tarrington had incorrectly informed the group surrounding him that Boston was in California. Honora had gritted her teeth, swearing not to interrupt. When the topic had changed to South America, Tarrington's idiocy had become even more apparent. Honora had found she could not continue to remain silent. She'd merely suggested to Tarrington that Peru was located on the continent of South America and not Africa, as Tarrington had proclaimed to the circle around him. The snobbish lord had been livid. He was not appreciative of her timely interruption, nor of her correctly informing everyone that Peru was, in fact, in South America. How could Honora possibly know she'd embarrassed him in front of a young lady he'd been intent on courting? His displeasure had been swift. For the remainder of that party, and any others Honora had the misfortune to attend for several weeks, if Tarrington spotted her, he would follow her about, squealing and snorting like a pig. On one of the rare occasions she had ventured to the park, Honora had encountered Tarrington. He'd walked by her, murmuring, "Here, piggy, piggy," until she had fled. Since then, he had mostly ignored her, and she hoped the worst was over. Tarrington smoothed down his carefully trimmed moustache as he greeted Annabeth. A look passed between them before he regarded Honora with mild interest. Honora prayed he had forgotten all about her. She was forgettable. Everyone said so. Annabeth nodded graciously. "Good evening, Lord Tarrington. Lord Southwell?" She bobbed prettily. "I brought a friend to meet you. May I present Miss Davenport?"
"Miss Davenport, how nice to see you again."
Tarrington seemed polite enough, except for the mispronunciation of her name, but possibly he was only repeating Annabeth. "My lord." She dipped unsteadily.
"Oh," Annabeth laughed softly. "I didn't realise you two were acquainted."
"I believe we met briefly at a garden party hosted by Countess Malvern. Miss Davenport was kind enough to inform me of the location of Peru."
Tarrington's tone was bland, his pale gaze flickering over Honora. He was dismissing her.
"Did you think it was in Asia again?"
Southwell said, before turning to Honora.
"The tutor his father paid for was a complete waste." "It was easier to just look over your shoulder during the exams, South,"
Tarrington bit out.
"At any rate, this is Miss Davenport, brought to us by the lovely Lady Annabeth."
He gave Annabeth another pointed glance before nodding to Southwell. "Drevenport," Honora said quietly. I am Miss Drevenport.
Tarrington.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?